Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Broadcasting from the Shaw's Star Market Studios, the home of the Greg Hill Morning Show. Weekdays 6 to 10. This is Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1 Lawrence Boston. A Radio.com sports station. This is Patriots Friday on Sports Radio WEEI. Patriots Friday is presented in part by Toyota's official website for deals, buyatoyota.com.
By Putnam Investments, proud Patriots partners, committed to an active game plan on the field and off.
And by AdCare. If you're struggling with alcohol, AdCare can help. Call 1-800-ALCOHOL.
This hour of the Greg Hill Show is sponsored by Kaplansky Insurance. More choices, more savings. Kaplansky.com.
Now everybody, have you heard? If you're in the game, then a stroke's the word. Don't take no rhythm. Don't take no style.
Coming up on Monday, Boomer Esiason will join us as he always does at 7, and Cam Newton will join us on Monday most likely at 9:30. And Wiggy's lead this morning was that you will see perhaps the greatest coaching effort ever by Bill Belichick on Sunday. That is, we can explore that later, but when we were rudely interrupted by the commercials, we were in the middle of the news, so I want to get the rest of that in this morning.
So we've got to get the irrational fear in. We got to talk about this, because this is a terrifying story. I think I get this from my mom. I'm someone that is very cautious about certain types of food as leftovers. Like, you remember LB on the old show would eat like 2 week old meat that was in the fridge.
2 week old, 2 month old.
Right.
He would eat anything.
As long as it wasn't growing,
he'd eat it. He'd literally scrape the mold off something in the company refrigerator and eat it.
And then nuke it.
Yes.
So I'm someone that errs on the side of caution when it comes to prepared foods and their shelf life in the refrigerator. This family in China, 9 people died after eating a noodle dish that had been stored in the freezer for a year. Now, I guess it was a noodle made from a fermented corn flour. So herein lies some of the issue, because it created some kind of toxic compound.
Oh.
But it had gone past its shelf life, I guess, already before they froze it.
Right.
So they froze the noodle dish. It was in there. They must have been, I don't know if they were cleaning out the freezer because of COVID or trying to, you know, get to the old stuff and use everything up. But this whole family ate this noodle dish. They became sick after they ate, and how all their symptoms came out, and several of them had to be admitted to the hospital. It took about a week for 8 of them to pass. The 9th member finally died, I think, 10 days after eating the noodles. But isn't
that's awful? Yeah.
Leftovers wipe out a whole family?
How long do you, like, regular leftovers that you're, like, takeout leftovers or leftovers from something you prepared that's just in the fridge? How long do you, I don't know, I'm usually
3 days
like,
tops.
Like
depends
three,
on the food.
Three
I feel like,
some Chinese food
can go for 4 or 5 days and it's still, it's still good. Pizza is kind
of, pizza is, you can do a lot of things with leftover pizza. Like, you can throw it in the microwave.
No, you got to throw it in the oven. That's where you go wrong.
You can't microwave.
I agree with you. It has to go And there's like a life hack for that where you put water on it. Or is that what you're doing?
Yeah, if you put water, I think, in the microwave, then it helps it crisp because you're not getting this summer.
I put gin on the crust.
Put water in it.
I don't know, Curtis, how long will you eat something a week later or 2 weeks later if it's in the fridge?
No, I am a clean out the fridge earlier rather than later guy. I do not want stuff stuck in there and smelling up the place.
The only thing is cold cuts. You can have those around.
Salt. Yeah. Anything with a ton of salt, I feel like automatically extends it a little bit longer because you're preserving it. But like condiments, there's a big debate about condiments because a lot of people use, I have someone very close to me that uses condiments well past the expiration date.
Is that
and
the
it
BF?
Freaks me out.
But I feel like
it's the boyfriend.
Yeah. But I found this out the other day and I was like, wait, you use like real, like, not, I'm not talking like, you know, the hoisin sauce expired a month ago and it's still good. I'm talking like 2-year-old ketchup. And I'm like, do you?
This might
be a deal breaker.
So he will use condiments past the expiration date.
Well past the expiration. Wow. Like the only thing I'll use.
What about condoms? Does he use those?
that's a different story. Those need to be fresh, guy. Okay. No one's trying to have kids right now.
Snip, snap.
It's been sitting in my back pocket for six years. Finally.
You're like, oh, that's what that indent in your wallet looks like.
What about the expiration date? Will you go past an expiration date on something?
Depends.
Not dairy.
Eggs, yes, because eggs have a much longer shelf life than the expiration date. Yeah. Yogurt, anything like that. Milk and cream, it's a sniff test.
Yeah.
You can usually get...
But I feel like ketchup, it gives you like a long time.
Right.
So,
mustard lasts forever.
Yeah.
This texter is correct when they say that.
But the only thing I get skeeved, and I know it's just a matter of shaking it and mixing back up, but when something like mustard separates, especially like a Dijon mustard, like brown liquid on the top, I'm like, nope.
Yeah.
Trash.
Well, see, the pre-mustard, they call that.
Is that what that's called?
That's a me line. That was well done.
You've never heard that before?
Pre-mustard? Yeah, the problem is, there are some people, and I will do it. You know, what goes in the, like, what condiments go in the refrigerator? Like, I won't put my James River barbecue sauce
in the
refrigerator.
Yeah.
Some people don't put their ketchup in the refrigerator.
Yeah, because ketchup doesn't need to be refrigerated.
You know?
Ketchup is the absolute worst condiment anyway. It shouldn't even be a condiment. It's horrible.
Calm down.
I hate it.
You hate ketchup? Why do you hate ketchup?
With fries?
I hate it.
So what do you eat? Oh, you're a sauce guy, fries.
He's Bernays with his fries.
Oh, you know what he's going to like? I don't know if you might like this. They are doing now...
Corn chowder.
No, Danielle, I know you would like this. There are, like, certain restaurants, Chick-fil-A is doing their Chick-fil-A sauce...
In the store.
In the store.
Yeah, I like that.
They just announced
like
that.
Yeah.
It's huge.
You can buy the Saugus wing sauce at Kowloon. Yep.
I'm hoping they do a McDonald's sauce.
Greg hates Saugus wings.
I hate ketchup and Saugus wings.
Andy Wong, Air Moss.
And vegetables. Mm-hmm. Can you buy the Chick-fil-A sauce on a Sundae?
No. It's like, you know how in states with blue laws, they rope off the alcohol? They put like a tiny little stanchion around the Chick-fil-A sauce. And if you try to ring it up at Shaw's, it comes back and they're like, sorry, we can't sell this to you today.
I don't know if this is true or not, but the 781 texter says that Bruce Springsteen will not eat leftovers at all. That's a piece of trivia.
That's not exactly green by him.
I know, you're right about that. By the way, I don't want to take too much time with this, but the new Bruce album dropped today.
Mm-hmm.
It is A+, 6 to midnight. I only had a brief opportunity to listen to some stuff this morning on the way in here. Early listen tells me one of his best albums.
That explains why you were so chipper when you came in.
Yeah,
you were fresh off a Bruce high.
What is more predictable, Greg rating a Bruce album or Greg rating a new true crime on Netflix?
B, because the frequency of that drop is much higher than a new Bruce album.
I'm gonna finish up Who Killed Little Gregory.
I started this last weekend.
Yeah. It's too dark for you?
Too dark.
You started it too dark?
Too dark.
But you love Unsolved Mysteries.
Yeah, I love... Oh, excellent. The first episode of the new batch of Unsolved Mysteries is phenomenal.
Really good?
Excellent. It's about a former White House aide went to West Point, a very illustrious career, found dead in a landfill.
Did you know that the... Yeah, this is trivia. You probably don't know it, but the old show was portrayed on an episode of the original Unsolved Mysteries
show. With the dude who came out with the trench coat?
What?
Where the unsolved mystery? What that the dude
downstairs,
where,
Joe?
One that, that is an unsolved
wasn't
mystery.
The host, like, wasn't the host in like a trench coat and would come out at the end?
Yes, that was Malcolm Butler, the most unsolved mystery of all time. He came out in a trench coat with nothing on underneath and flashed.
Why
Bill
was
Belichick.
Steve Belichick there?
No, there was this guy who came on the old show,
right,
who had claimed that the movie A Few Good Men was about him, and he was suing the producers of it.
Mm-hmm.
And he came on, talked about it on the show, and then he disappeared, and nobody could find
Jinx.
Him.
Jinx.
And so,
huge jinx.
That might have been the original Jinx. But anyway, when the show, so they said, hey, can we do this, you know, make it a part of the story that he was on your show and everything? And like, yeah. And then the show airs, and the guy, the actor that they had playing me as the radio guy was 67 years old with, like, white hair.
It was Johnny St. Dark.
Well, they went young.
Yeah, they went young.
Did you get any royalties for that?
It's like 20 years ago, Curtis. I was young.
I have a feeling that you were still a curmudgeon.
You were young, but the actor who played you wasn't young.
We have to get a download of that episode. That's awesome. Yeah,
David Cox was the guy's name.
Yeah, David.
Yes, he also starred in when.
No, that's not the actor. That's the guy who came in and did the show and went missing.
I don't know where he was going and if it's where my brain went when we started this little diatribe, but I'm glad that we shut that down.
Well, it's Friday. It's okay. I
mean, he also starred in Single Moms.
There
we're
it
expecting.
Is. Yeah. Single Moms 3, 5, 7, and 26.
I'm telling you, in Unsolved Mysteries, there was a guy that came out at the end of
Raymond
the show.
Burr. Yeah, Raymond Burr. See,
he had a trench coat on.
Yes,
that
was his signature look. Yeah.
I'm not a big I hate Unsolved Mysteries.
You do?
Yeah, there's no closure.
Yeah, that's right.
They're unsolved.
I spent 2 hours. Like, Dateline always reels me in. Dateline in 2020.
Yeah. Oh, don't talk about Dateline with Greg. That was a Friday night activity.
I spent 2 hours invested in this show.
Yeah, and then
then at the end, well, they're still looking for
him. What did you think based on the title of the series was going to happen?
Well, I was hoping, like,
spoiler?
On my favorite show.
We solved it?
First 48. Maybe they have an Unsolved Mysteries after the Unsolved Mystery
following
is solved.
But the internet now, Wiggy, is great because you Google this guy after the Unsolved Mystery and you can basically find out what happened.
Here is Derek the Steelers fan. Good morning, Derek. Hey, Derek. Huge.
Good morning.
Huge game this weekend for your Steelers.
Slow down, kid. Slow down. Okay. If I've learned anything with Mike Tomlin, is talk to me in, like, you know, December. Let's see where we stand then. And even then, it won't be safe.
Well, they're both 5-0. They're both 5-0. Oh.
This is it. Teddy Bruschi said they're the best team in the AFC.
Yeah.
And Tomlin had that on blast all week in, you know, locker room. Okay, that's the problem with that group. They start not believing that stuff. You know, Hilldog, I'm starting to age myself. I remember when that all unfolded on the old show. Yeah. I'm starting to get a little old here.
I know. Well, we all are. We all are.
And I do have to agree with you on Bruce.
Yeah.
I've always secretly agreed with you on that.
Yeah.
But the first song off of it, phenomenal. So I'm interested.
It's amazing. Amazing album. I'm just telling you right now. Download it and listen to it this weekend.
Oh, it's a done deal. Now, you know, I miss my buddy Kenny.
Yeah.
I really do. I can't wait for him to get back.
Yeah.
You know, and he'll be like, you mean to tell me Baker won't even send, you know, like, you know, one of his little staffers, Spencer, or whoever he's got locked up with him, to answer some questions?
Well, I don't.
I mean,
he's too busy. He doesn't have time to come on the radio show anymore. I mean, that's, you know.
This has become more embarrassing than, like, the Finnerans of the world. This guy, you know, goes and hides after years. He is on this show.
Mm-hmm.
It's embarrassing to him. You know, 20 or 30-year-olds are responsible for the uptick. But let's keep all the college kids on campus, even though they're taking some of the classes via Zoom. Like, does that make sense to anybody? And if it does, I fear for you.
I don't even...
Because that's...
I think until there's a vaccine, there are bound to be upticks. I mean, I don't know.
Because we have the best testing.
Did you not hear the president last night?
Yes. We're
taking a ton of tests, so that's why there's enough tests.
That's why the cases are high.
We have the best testing. Yeah. That's why. Yeah.
Can we stop hearing about, like, upticks and start hearing about, like, if you got somebody in a nursing home right now, and I'm not trying, I don't, so far be it for me to, you know, judge or help make a decision, but I would be very, very nervous if I had a family member in a nursing home in the state of Massachusetts right now, considering, you know, according to Buzzkill Boney, we're going into, like, the dark 6 weeks and the second wave and all of that. Okay, this should be plain. We should be hearing about what they're going to do to prevent 1 in 7 nursing home residents, Mr. Baker, dying on your watch.
They did it yesterday. They shut down hockey.
Well, they shut down youth hockey.
Youth and recreational hockey in Salem. And
the governor finally listened to me.
They shut down every business. You weren't here yesterday, but every business in Salem was told that they have to close on Halloween.
Yeah, I saw that when I was driving on the highway coming in this morning. You know those digital signs?
Yeah.
It said,
don't go to Salem.
Yeah,
it said all the Halloween stuff in Salem is canceled.
I do want to make a comment about that, because when we reported that yesterday, I did some more digging into it because I saw a few businesses post about Halloween weekend. And it's, I think NBC 10 misreported the Halloween closings because other news outlets seem to have it differently. So it appears as though they're going to do an 8 o'clock mandatory closing for businesses this weekend and Halloween weekend. So it looks like they can open, but they've got to shut down by 11.
Well, that makes sense because COVID only comes out at night.
At night, right.
Yeah.
And you know what? The thing that we haven't jumped on Charlie Baker and Bitchville USA for that is kind of...
There's something left?
Well, it's, you know, first...
You've jumped on him for everything.
Well,
so
first he taken away high school football, but the other
thing... What are your thoughts on that?
The other thing that he's really taken away, and the reason why I talk about this is because...
You can't stop.
Danielle, can I get to my point?
Now you know how I feel.
It's because my wife's niece, she was talking to her niece yesterday, and, you know, she asked, well, what are my kids going to be for Halloween? And, you know, they're older, and she's like, you know, 11 years old. And they're like, well, there's no Halloween here. And she was kind of devastated. Luckily, she lives in West Virginia, so I think they're having some type of Halloween
there's
down.
There's no restrictions in West Virginia.
But to think
they hand out moonshine.
They're having Halloween all across the entire United States, except for Massachusetts, New York, and California.
But to think about the five-year-olds, you know, or the four-year-olds to 12-year-old kids, and I've had them before, that are not going to be able to go out and trick-or-treat on a Saturday, too, which is perfect.
Yeah, I know. Perfect.
You don't have to worry about school and everything. And they have taken that from these kids.
Well, they can't sacrifice Halloween, Wiggy, for the safety of others.
The kids go up to the door. They'll be wearing masks. And just put your mask on and hand out candy. You can't allow these kids to have Halloween. And these poor kids out there, they're asking their parents a million questions. Right. Why can't we go trick-or-treating? Why can't we go trick-or-treating? And it's all...
They should allow it just for the parents' sanity so the kids stop asking.
Yeah, I mean, you think, you know, I've had those kids at that. And it's all because Baker has no balls and is afraid to have Halloween for a few hours for these kids to enjoy. And we got... Because the one thing I will say from last night's debate that I did take away, and I'm not a huge Trump fan, that he did say is he talked about the recovery rate for young kids, you know, 99.9%. But he also talked about protecting the elderly, and that was the most important. And that should be the focus here, not taking away these young kids' opportunities, whether it's play sports or even having little things like Halloween, taking that away from a six-year-old who wants to dress up as the Black Panther, but he now can't do it. He has to have Halloween in his
Wakanda for you.
Yeah, backyard. Or if he's like me, he grew up in East Boston, now you got to have it on the front step. And it's like, really?
You're probably like me. You're just pissed that you're not going to have leftover candy to eat for a month afterwards.
And I do love the candy. When the kids bring home the candy,
you pick out the best stuff.
I rifle
you gotta check it.
Reese's, Snickers, and Twix.
There you go. Oh, you like Twix?
I do like
Twix. It's surprising.
Nobody
like Oreos or no?
I've never met
chocolate and caramel go great together.
I've never met a person who likes Twix.
But there are I feel like there are better chocolate caramel options like Snickers than Twix. Like, I'll eat a Twix once every 3 years, maybe, and then I'm like, oh, that's why I don't really eat Twix very often.
Who wants to bite into a giant bread stick? In the middle of chocolate. No, thank you.
Twix is one of the best chocolate and caramel candies out there.
Oh, it's awful.
On the Halloween thing for a second, I dove into the Twitter cesspool for a minute yesterday because I'm sure you guys have probably seen this by now, the cute little note written by the kid to the governor that said that people should just give out king-size candy bars so everyone takes one. And it was like written in little kid handwriting.
That was written to Governor Baker?
Yes.
Because he's a king?
No, because... as the kid was suggesting ways to safely trick-or-treat.
Yeah.
It did have your majesty.
Did
Governor Baker deign to write back? Or?
The governor posted a photo of it, I believe, on his Twitter account. And if you look at the replies, like, most people were like, oh, this is really cute. Like, at least this is something uplifting. And then you have this whole group of people like, this is so irresponsible for the governor to post this child's letter. People are dying. I'm like, can we just have, like, one bright spot? Like, a little kid made a cute letter and sent it to the governor asking for Halloween to happen. Can we just not crap on this one thing?
Well, that's the COVID bros. Ugh. They can't help themselves.
Jesus.
Yeah, that was at Ken Laird WEEI.
It was a burner account. It was Ken 1635497.
Here's a 97 978 text that says, Wiggy, you're a moron.
Why?
Go buy candy for your kid and watch Halloween TV specials with
them. You're not going to be able to because Apple TV took all the Peanuts specials, right. And you can only watch them for a you can't even watch the this is the worst part of 2020. You can't even watch It's the Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown on network TV anymore. You have to be an Apple Plus subscriber.
Yes.
You can get it free for like a day, and that's
it. And it's the first time in something like 54 years that it's not going to be available for free.
That's atrocious.
Yeah.
And for that jabroni texter, Halloween is not for me. It's for the 5, 6, 7-year-old kid that wants to put on his costume, like I said, dress up like Black Panther and go out there and experience getting some candy. We all loved Halloween as kids growing up. I think besides Christmas, Halloween is probably the next greatest holiday for kids 12 and under. They can't do it. Why? Because Charlie Baker's scared of what? What is he scared? Is there going to be an uptick if you all of a sudden have Halloween?
I guess that's what they're suspecting.
What a joke. He acts like he was never a kid before. He must have gotten beat up when he was a kid.
Okay.
He must be one of those hotto, guys that become cops because they got abused when they were younger, and now they take all this power and they want to, strong-arm everybody.
Maybe his costume got caught in some kind of an auger or something like that.
Oh, you look like a good one to buy an auger with.
Poor kid. So all he wanted to do was be damn T'Challa.
Greg, what did you dress up as for Halloween?
A Cisco Brewery patron. It was very easy. He just wore what he was wearing Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday this week.
What is wrong with me wearing Cisco gear? I happen to love Nantucket.
It's obvious,
but it's my happy place.
You dressed up as Cisco from Drew Hill?
No.
different spelling.
I was back then.
No Q.
You didn't. My old man Barry Hill did not spend $50 on a costume. I was a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I was.
Did you have to wear your jacket on top of the ghost costume?
A lot of suspension of disbelief.
I was a hobo, which is
you can't do that these days.
Can't do that
nope.
anymore.
Mm-hmm. Cancelled.
But you remember? See, that's the thing. I remember when I dressed up I was Frankenstein one year. One year I was B.A. Baracus.
Oh, that is so on brand for you. Do you have any photos of that?
Oh, my God. I actually had a B.A. Baracus action figure. I got it for Christmas. I was so happy. Now, these poor kids, they probably won't have Christmas this year. Mm. So no gifts for them. But, kids remember Halloween. And the fact that there are places like Lowell, which we know is like kind of like a city. And so that's the best time. For me, you're going from apartment to apartment to apartment. And now, poor kids in East Boston not going to be able to experience that.
My auntie Kathy, not real Aunt Kathy, different Aunt Kathy, used to make all of our Halloween costumes every year. And I remember my cousin Sean and Stacy always had like the older kids costumes. And I remember it was such a big deal for me the year that I was old enough to wear the Martian costume. I graduated from the clown costume to
that
the Martian costume.
One.
And I'm like, this is it. I have made it.
That was a big one.
And Wiggy's going to dress up this year as a mute button.
A non-working one.
I might dress up as the, what's the button from Staples?
The easy button?
The easy button.
What's the button from Staples? Very difficult. That, I believe that was irony.
Wow, here's a 46-year-old.
Yes.
Can we all agree that Charlie Brown and the Great Pumpkin is the worst Halloween special ever?
Of the three or period?
I
feel like we need that CBS special presentation drum intro. Remember that from the 80s? You heard that and you came sprinting in from the other room.
Yeah.
Ba-bum, 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 ba-bum.
Danielle, correction. Greg is actually wearing Crisco, not Cisco.
That's his blood type. They say that people with O negative blood are less likely to get COVID, but it's actually inaccurate. It's Crisco because it slides right off him. That's why he hasn't gotten it yet.
And that's what's leaking out of his ear.
And the Saturday
it's butter flavored.
When's the last time Halloween fell on a Saturday.
It's been a,
too. It's been a while.
I said this last week. It was like everybody was all excited about that stupid meme back in January because all the good holidays like Cinco de Mayo and Christmas, everything fell on a weekend night.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now it's like the universe was like, just kidding, a-holes.
Wiggy, well, Cinco de Mayo falls on the May 5th this year.
Huh? Oh, God, that was so good that I couldn't even breathe for a
listen,
second.
I took Spanish in high school.
He took Spanish.
Unos, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco.
Hello, hello, Jonathan.
Verdad, sí. Hey, good morning, morning crew.
Hi, what's Jonathan.
Up?
How are
what's
you,
up,
buddy?
Jonathan?
Not bad, not bad. Just doing a little painting this morning, trying to take it easy. But I was going to call. I called in this morning, but, you know, I had to hang up because, you know, Julian Edelman and company there. But I wanted to talk about the election, but I have to jump into this whole corona thing there because Ken's not there.
Yeah.
So I guess there's nobody making sane arguments there. Yeah. You know, 222,000 people have died. 1,000 people a day, man, are dying now as we speak.
Yeah.
So it's Charlie Baker should just do nothing.
Thanks, Joe Biden, for
17
that
17 people a day die.
Yeah. I mean, but but again, you can't stop. Unfortunately, it's the sad thing of life is mm-hmm. that people pass away. We're all going to pass away.
No, but you can try to prevent a contagious disease from killing people. That's completely different.
Jonathan, the whole strongman argument, are there
people are going to die, obviously.
Jonathan, how many people die from alcohol abuse a year?
I don't know.
I bet the numbers.
You don't seem to care about any of that stuff.
No, no, no.
Bro. Don't even come with me with that.
No, no, I bet that.
No, no, hey, listen.
You're one of these people. No, you're one of these people that hitch their wagon. That hitch their wagon to what everybody's focused on. Where's the
not
the
true at all.
Gun violence.
All,
gun violence in the city is up. Alcohol abuse is up. Suicides are up. Right
in
gun violence is always up in the city, bro.
Where's the energy? Where's the energy for that? Where are these? Where are the people?
I have the energy for that all day, every day.
I'm not. Where
all day, every day.
Listen, hold on.
That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about Corona, bro. What does that have to do with anything?
It has a lot to do with it.
Everybody, stop yelling. Jonathan, are you alarmed by the factual data in San Francisco with regard to overdose deaths this year compared to last year?
Of course it's a problem, Greg.
They're
of
up,
course.
Those are
things that people can try to stop by themselves. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
you guys are always saying, you got to be strong and all this other junk.
Well, they clearly,
you know what I mean? You can't prevent yourself from dying from this virus, man. If you catch it, if you're older compromised, you're going to die.
Hold on. I thought you could prevent yourself from catching it by wearing a mask and socially distancing yourself, and if you're somebody who's in an at-risk category,
it depends on the mask. You know that already, man. You talk about it every morning, Greg.
But I don't understand why, when it comes to, as Wiggy is talking about, alcohol abuse, suicides, overdoses.
You guys are only concerned about that stuff now, man. You guys never
thought about
this before, man. You never did, man. You weren't concerned about these people before.
Jonathan, did you listen to the show?
Now everybody's concerned about
them, right? Did you listen to the show before? And Curtis will tell you.
I've been listening to the show for forever, every day, bro.
I've always been on gun violence and violence in inner cities from day one, but people don't care about that because that doesn't.
But what does that have to do with coronavirus?
Because the
energy, making any sense,
the
man.
Energy people
that's gonna be here. Even
so,
when
is the coronavirus is gonna be
gun
here?
Gun violence is always going to be here,
right.
Bro.
So what's more important?
So what are you
focus?
Talking about?
You're not listening to me. Clean the wax out
makes
your ears. The sense that
no, I clean it every morning,
no,
bro.
You, clearly,
every morning,
you don't.
Every time I take a shower, dog. You're
you
not
need
making
to get
sense,
show
dog.
Greg how.
You need to get. My mother got me this thing called the tweezy. You
your
put it in.
Nothing, dog.
You put it in your ears.
You let other people talk.
And,
you have,
and it
you
comes
have
out.
All day to talk.
I just explained.
Give
to
me
you.
A few seconds to say my piece,
Jonathan. He's been off for 2 days,
right.
So he has to get.
What did he do?
He has to get double the words.
He's on every day.
No, what did he do? He came in and did the Biden thing. He did the Biden
220,000. No Biden, nothing. It has nothing to do with Biden.
You just
that has
quoted
me
him.
Looking up the numbers myself.
You just
I
quoted
up the
what he said
myself.
Last night on the presidential debate. That's
can
what you
I,
did.
Can you let me say something, bro?
Jonathan.
You've been saying something, and you're saying nothing.
Can you let me say something?
All you're doing is spewing hot air.
Are you going to keep talking, or are you going to let me say anything?
I'm letting you talk. Get to your point.
It feels awkward.
La, can't hear you.
Jonathan, may I
I was
ask?
Even going to call in the other day to talk to you, to you, Greg, when you were mentioning the World Series.
Yeah.
When you had all those people there. I looked up the numbers.
That day that you were talking about when it happened, the World Series, all those people in there, 80 people had died in Texas, man. Over 5,000 cases.
Yeah.
It's not a joke, man.
No, I don't think it is, man.
I want everything to go back to normal just with the rest of you, man. I want to go out. I want to do all of that, man.
But
I'm sick of all of this. I hate the mask, all of that, bro.
Okay.
But at the same time, we got to do this.
What's up, Ashley?
I'm sorry.
Can I just ask you a serious question? And please think about it
Definitely.
And give me a serious answer. Influenza. Which is a virus. Just listen, please try.
Try. Go for it.
Open your mind up, because I don't understand the correlation. Yep. It kills a considerable amount of people in this country every year. I just got a flu shot yesterday for the first time because I'm trying to do right by everybody. I want to thank the Shaw's people for coming over here and giving a flu shot yesterday. Why do we not do the same thing every year? Where we shut businesses down, we limit the amount of people that can be in restaurants, we tell people to wear masks, we tell people to stay away from their friends. Why don't we do that every year so that we can save 40,000 to 75,000 lives?
So this is something you do almost on a daily basis, man. You're being disingenuous about all of it.
No, I know the answer to that question, Gregory.
I'm going to give it to you, though, even though you know the answer
to that question. What is the answer?
Even the president himself on tape said it.
I don't care about the president. What's the answer?
The influenza virus is nowhere near as deadly as this virus. I called you before and gave you the numbers.
Do the
35,000 to 65,000 people died. We understand influenza. We have a vaccine that sometimes works depending on the strain of influenza. We know how to battle this, man.
Okay, so 40,000 to 60,000.
The difference between that and coronavirus.
They haven't figured it out. We're just willing to say goodbye to those 40,000 to 60,000 people.
Nobody's saying that. Why do you say that when I say that?
Because
number?
you say we're willing.
Say that. That's not true, man. That's not true. It's just an unfortunate thing that happens, man.
All right.
You know that, Greg. I love you, Jonathan, but Jonathan's only going to speak on his narrative for stats that make his point.
Oh, none of us ever do that.
Danielle.
Jermaine.
All I know is people are fraudulent. With this whole I care about all the other things. He never called in before about gun violence or about anything else. Now all of a sudden he wants to call in once a week about coronavirus.
He's a good guy.
I'm not saying he's not a good guy. I don't know the guy personally.
You seem to like him.
I would never say somebody's a bad guy if I don't know them.
Wiki being out for 2 days is like when you get a kink in your hose and you finally figure out where it is along the way, and then you open it and everything comes flying out at once.
No, I just don't like people
who are fraudulent.
Lying on my name. And Curtis will tell you, since I've been here and everywhere I've been, I've always talked about violence in the city for these young kids.
Yes, you have.
If you look at CNN, did a report, the violence across America is up during the pandemic.
Oh, Wiggy's right, but I feel like we didn't ask Jonathan what he thinks about reheating food in the fridge.
That would have been a good one.
Or what happened with Malcolm Butler.
Right, I mean...
Texter wants to know if that was Laird disguising his voice when he was calling in from Pennsylvania.
Yes.
Right. All right, we have got to take a break. Wiggy is back, obviously.
Clearly.
He got so emotional.
He did.
And we got to get
to... hormones are running together.
We're way late again, as always.
Yeah.
And we got to get to Danielle and what is trending.
Today at 12:30, Michael Irvin joins Dale, Keefe, and Fitz. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Shaw's Just For You. This week, Shaw's Just For You members can pick up a sweet treat at the bakery with 18-count in-store baked cookies for only 97 cents, limit 2 per customer. Eagles beat the Giants last night on Thursday Night Football, 22-21. QB Daniel Jones summed up the Giants season perfectly when he tripped over the 20 all alone on what would have been, but then wasn't, a touchdown.
Wiggy, how embarrassing
That's
is
the
that?
Turf monster. Either the turf monster or sniper got you.
Just
Come on,
bad.
Man. You can't do that.
Bad. Carson Wentz hit Boston Scott with an 18-yard TD pass with 40 seconds left to secure the win for the Eagles. Wentz threw for 2 scores and also ran for a TD. Eagles improved to 2-4-1. Giants slipped to 1-6. Adam Butler, Kyle Duggar, Julian Edelman, Shaq Mason, and Derek Rivers all limited at practice on Thursday for the Pats as they prepare to take on Jimmy G and the 49ers on Sunday in Foxborough. College football schedule gets a little bit more heavy this weekend. Big Ten starts, number 14, Wisconsin, hosts Illinois tonight. The league will play out an 8-game all-conference schedule, and it was announced yesterday that in order to compete in the Big Ten championship game, any team must play at least 6 games. Finally, turning to the MLB, Game 3 of the World Series between the Rays and Dodgers is set for tonight at 8:08 p.m. at Globe Life Field in Arlington, Texas. Greg is thrilled, and he plans to watch every single inning of said game.
Wait. What time does that start this evening?
8:08, bud. Okay. 8:08. Make sure it might compete with Dateline, but maybe you could DVR Dateline.
That's all right.
That best of 7 is tied at 1, and that's what's trending now on WEI and WEI.com.
This is the Greg Hill Show on WEI.
Wiggy, the guy in the trench coat that was the original host of Unsolved Mysteries was Robert Stack. So there are multiple texters who want you to know that.
Okay.
I believe, if I remember correctly, he was at one point the roommate of JFK.
Ah.
And I would imagine that there may have been some female visitors that were in and out of that particular stabbing cabin.
You sure it wasn't Lem Billings?
Well, maybe Lem Billings was there too.
Maybe they had a bro party?
I don't know.
Is there anything wrong with that?
Yeah, I do. That's kind of like one of the things from Unsolved Mysteries. You used to come out at the end of it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the coat.
Well, and I believe in the new...
coat and the hat.
Curtis, remind me about this, but I think in the new show... they have like a silhouette of him when it comes to the intro for the new Unsolved Mystery.
They pay homage.
Yes, they do. They pay, as we would say, they pay homage.
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 Homage. Bring me some homage and whores de avores.
Homage.
Hey. Do you guys have homas with pita chips?
No homage paid to Wiggy by the Patriots when it came to the all dynasty team.
He's been carrying their water for 20 years.
Longer than that, Curtis. I was carrying their water when they stunk.
I mean, there is no dynasty without the snowball.
Well, that is true.
Yeah,
that is true.
I mean, you really can't. There's really nobody on that list that you can argue with. I mean,
Bill Belichick.
There's one person on that list that I could say, you know, on this, I would say this second dynasty.
Josh McDaniels.
Mm-hmm. Besides Josh McDaniels, I could maybe see Kyle Van Noy, because Kyle Van Noy was a huge part of your couple of Super Bowl wins at the linebacker group. But I think the guys that they chose were all, you know, pretty big as far as Ninkovich, Willie, Teddy, Pfeiffer. So maybe you could throw, maybe Kyle Van Noy would be a guy in there that, you know, when you think about what he did during his run here, it was pretty impressive. But he didn't play as long as some of those other guys. That's kind of what I think hurts a lot of us, is that unless you played a long period of time, then maybe you get snubbed.
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised they didn't cancel Matt Light because of the comments he made on this show about wearing masks.
I don't know why Sebastian Vollmer's on there. I mean, he was mediocre. I don't think he's an all-dynasty tackle.
Well, you'd have to put, would it be Solder?
Solder and Light.
Solder and Light, that's who you'd go with?
Yeah.
Solder, was he here long enough, though?
Yeah, he won. I mean, he was part of a couple titles, I believe. Super Bowl,
he was on that
49 and 51, right?
I'll tell you, I think he was just the one with Solder. I'll tell you in a second. Yeah.
No, he got the big payday with the Giants after the Falcons get one, I believe.
Okay, he is a... Nate Solder is a 2-time Super Bowl champ.
Boom.
You are correct. Yep. So that's...
I mean, I think that the fact that Belichick put Gronk on is real upset. I mean, this week he's telling us George Kittle's 10 times the player Gronk ever was. I mean, it's unbelievable. Gronkowski, by anybody's evaluation, is the greatest tight end in NFL history. He doesn't have the numbers of Gonzalez. He doesn't have the durability of others. But at his peak, Gronk is Pedro Martinez. He's the best to ever play the position.
A Rhode Island listener is texting in and saying that Randy Moss should be off and Deion Branch should be on because Moss didn't win a Super Bowl.
That's a good one.
Well, Welker didn't win either.
I would get rid of Welker, and I would put Deion Branch on there.
You'd get rid of Welker?
Absolutely. He cost them a Super Bowl.
Well, no, Tom Brady cost them that Super Bowl. That ball was poorly thrown.
Okay.
Curtis, own up to that, please.
But you got to look when you look at it and you go, okay, guys that what are you on this? How, like, what are the criteria for being on this list? Is it, if it's all dynasty, right? Wouldn't you have to be part of the Super Bowl dynasty?
Right, you have to have at least a ring.
You would think.
Well, then that would eliminate Moss and Bolt Welker off of that list.
Deion Branch is the definite. He's a Super Bowl MVP, for Christ's sake.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have him.
I know.
There.
I think.
What about Givens? During that, wasn't
he was clutch? He had a bunch of playoff touchdowns.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, I think probably when you're doing these lists, you're looking at Randy Moss and his career in its entirety, and maybe not, but you should be looking specifically.
But if it's a dynasty list for the Patriots, it should be that.
It should be Patriots dynasty.
Yeah.
He was, okay, did he have a career year for the Patriots? A couple career years for the Patriots, but the one when Brady had the, you know, his best year ever? Yeah, but they didn't win anything. So when I think of a dynasty, I think of the championship year. So then I would
factor. So Logan Mankins is gone. He never won anything.
Right, he's another guy that you would, because you would think Mankins and Shaq Mason? Is it, you would think guards?
Right, you put Shaq Mason in there, and then you have Tooney, Andruzzi, and Mason. I think that's good. I mean, Logan Mankins did the incredible. He played for the Patriots for a decade and didn't win. Like, that's impossible. That's like the Don Mattingly of the Yankees.
This is David. David, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Hey.
Hey, I got a fun little twist on the dynasty team. Is they've got 15 starters on defense. Try and get them down to 11. Last time I checked, that's a penalty.
Well, you're
going to
have...
I don't know.
Well, they're not all on the field at the same time. Three inside linebackers.
Yeah. I appreciate that.
But if you got a team, though, you don't trot out 15 players for the Pro Bowl. Mm. So I think it's less about – I think the more interesting conversation isn't who's not there. It's if you really had to pick a team out of it, where does that fine line come down to? You know, do you need both Troy Brown and Julian Edelman, who for the most part were the same player and the same type of role on that team?
Well, I would go Troy Brown, Edelman, and then you'd have to figure out who would your third receiver would be, right? Like, if you're going to go, like, based off of, like, maybe three wide receivers on the field, defensive tackles, right? Let's say you go with two guys.
I would put Amendola on the dynasty team. He had so many clutch catches for these teams.
But not there long enough, Curtis.
He was there for, what, two titles?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have guys on here that just won one.
Yeah.
I mean, think
maybe
about
right
playoff
about that.
Amendola. That's what they all called him. Yeah. They get past the Jaguars. They don't win that game without Amendola.
Right. And, and a lot of the, you know, some of these guys that make the dynasty team is because of their playoff performance. Right. No, they might not have put up the numbers in the regular season, but it's about what they did in the playoffs, which helped lead to them becoming a dynasty.
Would you do a trade right now that includes Gilmore?
Absolutely.
Wait a second. I'm trading Gilmore.
Yes.
No. Because if I'm trading Gilmore, then that, and that, doesn't that mean I am now basically saying I'm throwing my hand in?
I mean, unless you think that when it comes to secondary, you're well covered. You got.
All right, I'm following.
You
know, I'm going down this road with you.
And you can end up with the weapon or weapons that you need on offense.
Okay, so Gilmore for Julio Jones type of situation.
What was the rumor yesterday, Curtis, when it came to personnel?
Well, Stephon Gilmore tweeted a very cryptic tweet when he said that 2020's shown people's true colors or something to that effect.
Yes, yes.
And people read into that Gilmore was on the trade block or found out through his agent that he was being shopped.
He was vague tweeting.
Yes, he was vague
like
tweeting.
Vague booking.
Eyeball emojis.
You took me down this road, though.
Danielle talks about this all the time when somebody says, on Facebook, you just never know who you can trust, and that's the only thing that they post.
Or they check in at the hospital with no context, and 50 people are like, oh my God, are you okay? Right. And 6 hours later, they put up some post that says, I wish people would just mind their own business.
Right. They're actually at the Abon Pong inside the hospital.
They're at the Magic Pan.
I would do it. You convinced me. It didn't take much convincing, but you brought me down this road.
Mm-hmm.
If I could trade Gilmore to Atlanta for Julio Jones, I would do that.
You do that.
I would even do it for Odell Beckham, because
we're back on this now.
No. Hear me out. Because
I don't have a choice.
You got.
We learned that with Jonathan.
You really don't. You have 3 years left with both Julio and Odell Beckham on their contract, right? You only have, I believe, one more year with Stephon Gilmore. And when you
add an additional $5 million or whatever he got out of him this year.
Right. And then I think he's got one more year after this. But if you look at their biggest problem, it's not their defensive secondary. It's their lack of offensive weapons in the passing game. So I know that Stephon Gilmore is probably going to get me something back. And if that means an elite wide receiver, I would rather have that than Gilmore, because I think they have enough pieces. Not that you're going to replace Gilmore, but that can kind of hold it down. So, yeah, you took me down that road. I'm all for it.
I would trade Gilmore and a first-round pick for Matt Ryan and Julio Jones.
I mean, now you sound like the afternoon show saying that Cam Newton is going to be benched in 2 weeks.
Right. Could I do a quick thing on Danny Amendola?
Sure.
2014, Super Bowl 49, he had 3 touchdowns that postseason. Mm-hmm. He had a total of 6 postseason touchdown catches for the Patriots. He is absolutely on that team.
Yeah, he was clutch. He was definitely clutch in the postseason. Danny Amendola was definitely clutch.
Do you think Asante Samuel belongs on that team?
Yeah, he won. Was he part of 04? Or maybe he was in between. He had the great pick six in the AFC Championship in the game they lost to Peyton Manning in 2006 in Indianapolis. But I don't know if he won a Super Bowl.
He is a 2-time Super Bowl champ. Huh. Asante, 4-time Pro Bowl.
Yes.
Oh, so he was on 03 and 04.
Translate the Roman numerals.
He does, right? He does.
Yeah,
he's
there.
Does. Yeah. All right.
But I do like that, Greg. I'm on that train now.
I mean, maybe you could say, I guess, that his social media post wasn't about that at all. Maybe somebody let him down in his life or something. But
maybe he had dinner plans and Cam canceled.
He doesn't seem like a guy who would be sharing social media stuff about.
But I don't think you have to trade Gilmore.
Somebody who disappointed him or something.
I don't think you'd have to trade Gilmore. You might have to trade Gilmore to get Julio, but I don't think you have to trade Gilmore to get Odell. If you want Odell, I think you can get him because that team is kind of falling apart. He took his cleats off on the sideline. They're in such disarray with that organization. He never wanted to be there from Jump Street. I know he got traded there. Mm-hmm. So you've got to start looking at some guys that are out there. Golden Tate. I'd much rather have OBJ than Golden Tate. Yeah, I'd rather have Julio over Odell, but I don't know if you'll be able to get him. But I would trade Gilmore if it was going to bring me back an elite weapon on offense.
All right. Wiggy is back, as you can tell. We will be back here Monday morning with Cam Newton on the show sometime during the 9 o'clock hour, most likely, and Boomer Esiason at 7. Are we going to – have you heard anything from Scott from Weymouth or from Mom from Weymouth? Are we going to hear from them at all this morning? Or?
I haven't, but I was really planning on a new song from Mom from Weymouth today. She sung Kansas City last week well.
Yes, yes. All right, maybe we'll try
Was he supposed to be on, though?
Well, last week he got her – he got her on the phone because he was there because he insisted on being a part of it. She gave us her locks, and she's actually – I think she's 5-1.
Mm-hmm. Dominating.
I think so, yeah.
And didn't he say wait till next week? Isn't this on you, though, right? This is your boy.
What do you mean it's on me? I don't communicate with him. Curtis communicates with him. I talk to him on the show. That's it.
I thought it would be something that he would do every week.
He said he would. He said that she would be on every week. So, I don't know.
I'll work on that during the break.
All right. We'll try to get to that before the end of today's show.
Now, it's the Greg Hill Show on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
I don't know. I've never been of that stature, Defensive Player of the Year, but I think for just players in general, when you hear that type of stuff, I remember being in Tennessee, I think this was 2015, and Schefter and Ian Rappaport at that time were tweeting like, Jason McCourty's on the trading block, blah, blah, blah. control the things that you can control. Like, you have no idea whether it's true or not. I remember once the deadline passed, our GM at the time came up to me and was just like, hey, there was no truth to that, total nonsense. But from when it came out to the deadline, you never heard anything from them. So, obviously, there probably was something to it. But I think for us, you can't take it personal because, hey, at the end of the day, if you're traded, if you're not traded, you have to continue to play for that team. So you don't want to look at it a certain type of way because if you go out there and mentally you're kind of out of it because of this, because of that, if you go out there and play bad, it affects you more than it affects the team. So I think you have to just realize this thing's a business. There could be some truth to it. There may not be any truth to it. But at the end of the day, you don't know, and you won't know unless it actually happens. So you just focus on the task at hand and what you have to do to continue to play good football and move forward.
That is Jason McCourty this morning on the show talking about what possibly goes through the mind of somebody like Stephon Gilmore. And if indeed there are going to be trade rumors. Now, mm-hmm. I would say in this case, he's the guy who is starting it all based on social media, mm-hmm. right? And maybe when you're tweeting and saying, saw a lot of people's true colors in 2020, maybe that has absolutely nothing to do with football.
But you tweet something like that as a professional athlete. There's right. no way you don't know that that's going to be somehow attributed right. to a shot at Bill or the team or something. You don't not know that.
It's not like it's Stephen Gilmore, accountant on Facebook, who right. says that. You know, he might be talking right. to his buddies or right. his, you know, family right. members. When Stephon Gilmore says that, that means he's taken, my opinion, clear shot at the organization, true colors. Defensive player of the year, wants new money, sees Jalen Ramsey get 5 years, $100 million. See Byron Jones get 5 years, $82
million. But they gave him more money.
They gave him $5
million. It's amazing.
$5 million? $5 million is...
Come on, Craig. You really... They gave him $5 million. He's defensive player of the year, and you see everybody else at your position getting buku bucks?
So he's disgruntled then.
Well, he's definitely upset.
It's amazing. Tom Brady was on this team. People love taking less money, playing for championships. All of a sudden, mm-hmm. he leaves, and the whole place unravels.
I think it's also interesting to look at him sending that tweet in light of everything we discussed about his wife's tweet regarding the dinner with Cam. He knows eyes are on his social media.
Great point.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's a shot at people who were criticizing him for the dinner.
I think it goes deeper than that. I think if it was that, I don't think he would feel a need to put something right. like that on social media. He would just let it go, and because we're already, the whole mentality of the team is we're trying to get past this dinner thing. Mm-hmm. This seems like it's something deeply rooted, something else. It's a little like, hey, look over here, because something's going on.
And the only people that would be criticizing him about the dinner would be people in the media. So right. he wouldn't have, like, feel like, hey, you know, you see people's true colors, because he doesn't have that.
It's nothing to do with that.
Yeah, he don't have that type of love for the media. But if he has a certain relationship, a connection with Bill Belichick, and obviously we know, because it was like people were talking about, was he holding out? And then he gets this new money, which is $5 million. Yeah, it's new money. But it ain't that type of new money that he wants when he starts.
Well, but it's a different season than any other financially, and the Patriots step up and go, all right, you know, you want more.
What does that mean?
Five.
It's a different season than anybody else.
It means that there's no revenue coming in for the New England Patriots from the people sitting in seats and from concessions and everything else.
Okay.
So, and it means that the salary cap is going to be completely different next season. So in the middle of that, it's like going, how do you think if you went to Mark Cannon tomorrow and said, hey, mm-hmm. I need another, I don't know what you make. What do you make? $500,000?
Yeah,
If you went to Mark Cannon and said,
$15 bucks an hour. So go ahead.
You went and said, hey, I know we're in the middle of a global pandemic and mm-hmm. revenue is off by 30%, but I need a raise.
Right.
And then he gave it to you. Mm-hmm. And then a month later, you're moaning about that? I mean, what is he upset about?
Because
whose true colors did he see?
Because if I'm going to Mark Cannon and going, well, wait a second, this show across the street just gave Jalen Ramsey 5 years, $105 million, and I'm more productive than he is, and you're talking about his $5 million. Come on.
He was the highest paid player at his position when he
signed 4 years ago.
Yes, he was. That's the way it goes.
But the way it goes, you're the highest paid player at your position, but then as you start to perform and you start to outperform that contract and people around you start making more money and you know your window of capitalizing is short in the NFL, Stephon Gilmore's coming off Defensive Player of the Year.
And, Wiggy, you're dead right about this because the COVID situation also says I'm out here risking my health and my family's health.
Get out of here.
And you would take on that.
He opted in for that.
How are you to know that when they gave Stephon Gilmore, they said, here's $5 million. If you show you're healthy, if you do what you're expected, we're going to come back to you and pay you during the year.
Yep. That's a good one. Yep. That's a good one. Oh, I took my headphones out here. Curtis got me all hyped up on that one.
All right, Wiggs, I missed you.
Hey, that's like me going to Mark Cannon and him going, here, we'll give you a little bump. But guess what? Don't worry about it. Come January 1st, we're going to get you that new deal.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one. They might have said, here's the $5 million, and then Steph go, okay, but don't worry. We'll get you that new contract in a couple weeks.
Okay, and so they haven't done that, and that's those
true
are the
colors. That's
what are you thinking, Greg? If you're sitting there and you see $25 million in cap space, and you're the best cornerback in the NFL making far less than the other players at your same position, aren't you saying this money's just growing, getting dust on it? Why aren't you giving it to me?
Well, no, I'm thinking that I like guys like Larry Bird who signed a contract and said it's not.
Yeah.
They don't come to me.
I like Bill Russell too. He played for $5,000 a
Wiggy.
Year. Come on, Greg.
They don't come to you guys in the middle of a bad season and say, "Hey, by the way, we're adjusting you down $5 million."
Go ask Ty Law that. Let's call Ty Law and let's see if Ty Law feels the
same. I don't think we have enough bleeps ready.
He feels the same way when he was scheduled to make $12 million and they go, listen here, Ty.
You sign a contract and you fulfill the obligations and then if you have confidence in yourself, then you go, all right, my next contract, I'm going to be back to being the highest paid guy at the position.
Speaking of Ty, where's that vodka? I mean, like I'm having it.
Yeah.
But what do you I don't know if you noticed, but the little issue with the U.S. Postal Service getting things to people in a timely manner these days.
So what do you say when they go to Ty or they go to Danny Amendola year after year and they go, we want you to take a pay cut?
There are guys who are willing to do it. There are guys who aren't.
But the organization, why are you not saying, hey, organization, honor the contract?
Because they're doing that for the good of the team. So they're saying, hey, we need you to restructure. You'll get your money at the end.
How?
Do you think these guys are giving up money?
Yes, that's what a restructure is.
That's the biggest joke on the planet.
Come on,
Tom
Greg.
Brady has a $500 million payment coming to him when he's done.
You turned on that guy.
I have not turned on him. Honestly, I think that this new global brand initiative by TB12 is going to mean that he is going to have more money than Mrs. Brady. I mean, think about that. Think about the fact that TB12 is now going to be, their goal is to be the number one health and wellness brand in the world. And he is finally going to earn more than the Mrs., I would assume.
You're going to hate Tom Brady because it's my guess that Brady and LeBron James will be the two athletes that come together and buy an NFL franchise.
I think you're probably right. No,
they work
LeBron
together.
Wants to buy an NBA team.
Well, they can maybe get their own company. They can buy multiple teams.
Mm. Now, let me ask you something. If Wiggy goes to Mark Cannon and gets up to $15 an hour.
You want more?
And then, no.
I know you do. Yeah, you're going
to
want
obviously,
more.
Yes.
Okay, obviously, yes.
Equal pay.
Yeah.
Right. If Curtis has a bad show and Mark Cannon doesn't tip Wiggy because of it, is Wiggy upset?
No, we already learned Wiggy doesn't tip. He doesn't care.
No,
he
I do tip.
He doesn't tip.
I tip for good
bad,
service.
That hypothetical has never happened.
I just left a $50 tip on a $50 bill.
Oh, look
so
at you.
If Gilmore,
thank you, Puff Daddy.
If
that big money right there.
But
that's what $15 an hour will get you.
Mm-hmm. Let's just be clear about this. Yes. If Gilmore is disgruntled, then that probably means that Bill is going to trade him. And why not? I mean, you said why not? Right?
I would. I would trade him. Here's another guy I would trade him to because I know he's disgruntled where he's playing. And they might be able to use a guy like Gilmore. They're both in kind of these playoff teams. I would trade him to New Orleans. He's got a good relationship down there, Belichick with Sean Payton. I would trade him New Orleans for Michael Thomas.
I got a text from a very well-respected national NFL insider that I'm going to have remain nameless.
Mm-hmm.
He said that he's still pissed that they shopped him in March and at the start of camp. So he's just been bothered by that this entire time. Yes.
I wonder,
the $5 million was sort of to get him back on board, but did not fix the entire situation.
And I wonder if Mrs. Gilmore feels like she got, to use Wiggy's word, dragged by the media and by fans. I wonder if that's an issue.
When did she get dragged?
Happy spouse, happy house.
I haven't heard that variation.
Happy spouse, happy house. Okay. That's words to live by. That's how the Wiggins have done it forever.
That's how
they have loved forever.
You know that one. But what did she get dragged for, though?
Well, because she, you know, came to his defense.
Yeah, the tweet about the dinner.
Yeah, but do you think people were really dragging her for that, though?
People were like, stay out of it. And what, you know, me thinks thou do protest it too much or whatever. People were, I don't know.
It's about the money, man. That's all. At the end of the day, when you're talking about professional football players, it's about the money. You know how you say with this whole pandemic, follow the money? It's about following the money. The $5 million was a nice bump, but when you start to see other guys around the league playing the position you play, getting, because he knows his window for another big contract is closing. The Patriots got him on the hook next year.
Well, yeah, maybe it's closing because he can't get out of, he's got a penalty every game.
I mean, you gonna hit your wagon to that one. Boy, I tell you, Clark Kent has left the building same, and Pandering Man is here.
Is he the same guy this season that he was last season?
You pulling a Fitzy. No, Brady ain't the same guy the last eight games of the season. So Stephon Gilmore is no longer an elite corner?
No, I think he's elite.
I mean, do you have like a Kraft phone that he texts you?
He has a Kraft. He's got a beeper that he wears underneath.
It's a buzzer.
It's an earpiece.
I'm sitting on it.
Yes.
Feels fantastic.
Oh, my God.
That's why you're in a good mood.
Anytime he says anything good about the Pats, he gets a nice little, you know.
Good. Gilmore's old. Keep going.
He goes like this.
What is it called? Isn't it called like a pocket rocket? I mean,
here's a text that says, yes. Here's more money because,
bullet, I mean.
Here's more money because you showed up at work today.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's what this is. That's what it is.
Okay.
It's like you signed a deal.
That. Oh, my God.
You signed a deal.
Okay.
You signed it.
Mm-hmm.
It played out.
All right. I want you.
Were you happy when you signed it?
Uh-huh. I want that same energy when they want him to take less money. I want them to be like, no, don't give him less money. Honor his contract.
I would say that. I mean, it's a contract. You negotiate it. That's what it's about. All right. We got to take a break. We will be right back.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.